Amen. Do not worry. As I was studying this, I realized how worried I was. I'm like, man, I don't think I worry that much. I know I worry a little bit, but I think as I was studying this passage, it was difficult because I started seeing my own worries coming to the forefront. As I'm looking through, studying through what Jesus is saying here, I'm kind of like wrestling with it, and I'm like, where in my life am I worried? And worry comes at different times in life, and sometimes there's seasons where we feel more stressed. Sometimes situations happen, and we just go through this season of like, man, we're just trying to figure things out. And I think everyone deals with worry differently, right? Some people, I remember growing up, I don't think my mom would mind me sharing this, but she would worry a lot. A lot of moms, you worry about your kids, about the family, and I just remember my mom worrying about me a lot. I was a little bit of a problem child, so she was kind of concerned, and she would pray for me too, but I remember she would worry, and recently something happened where, you know, situation happened. I thought, you know, my mom's going to be super worried. But it was interesting because I think just to see how much she's grown in trusting the Lord, it was really cool to see because it was like, you know what? Like, the Lord knows, and I trust in the Lord. And it was cool to see because I think as time goes on, that's what we want to see, right? We want to see growth. We want to say, I don't want to be worrying the same way that I was 10 years ago. If we know Christ, we want to be getting a little bit better at casting those cares upon him, giving him our worries. And I was really encouraged because I'm like, man, we don't have to let our worries define us. We don't have to let our worries own us. And for some of us, we might think, you know what? I don't really worry that much. But we kind of just suppress our worries. We maybe mask it with humor. Maybe we just take a lighthearted approach to life. Everyone has worries, but there's different ways in which we work through our worries. And what Jesus is going to do this morning is tell us, hey, you're going to have worries, but like I'm with you in the worries. You don't have to keep those things to yourself. I want to take your worries from you. Notice in verse 25, Jesus says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what will you put on? What you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? The first thing I want us to see in this passage is that Jesus understands that we are prone to worry. And this might seem like very obvious from the text. Jesus understands that we are prone to worry. And this is why he tells us, do not worry, because he knows our proclivity to worry. He knows that oftentimes we operate from a place of worry more than a place of faith. And he says here to his disciples, do not worry about your life. But notice what he says, that first word, therefore, right? He's connecting what he's just spoken about. He's just talked about serving one master. He says, you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. You've got to choose. Serve one master. For those who are choosing to serve Christ, Jesus says, if God's your master, you have every right to believe in him. You don't have to worry if God is your master. If you're divided, if your heart's divided, your affections, you're like, I want to serve God and money, and I'm going all these different directions, that's where worry can really grow. But Jesus is saying, when God is your master, you don't have to worry. The psalmist would say in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If God is my shepherd, if God is my master, I have everything I need. This is encouraging to me because Jesus understands the things that worry us. And here he gets to the root of it. He understands the nature of our worries. Here it's connected with what you eat, clothes, food, the basic necessities, right, of life. And there are many more things that worry us as well. who am I going to marry? Am I going to be single forever? That was one of mine. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for my wife. But there's different worries, right? Am I going to have a family? Like, where am I going to end up? My family situation is rough, you know? There's different things that can plague us. And Jesus understands that we're prone to worry. And so he tells us, hey, you don't have to worry. You don't have to keep those things in. You can give them to me. And that's what we see in verses 26 through 31, is that Jesus walks with us through our worries. Jesus walks with us through our worries. Many of you have heard this message before. This is a very familiar passage. But it's interesting how many times Jesus tells us not to worry in this passage. He keeps repeating himself. And you're like, man, we get it. We understand. But obviously, we don't. And so Jesus is patient with us, and he says, hey, do not worry. He builds his case on why we shouldn't worry. Jesus doesn't only command us not to worry, but he tells us why we shouldn't worry. He walks with us through our worries. I love this, seeing the patience of Christ in our worries. He uses logical reasoning to explain why we shouldn't worry. When you notice this section, you'll see different questions that Jesus asks. He questions us. He instructs us. He teaches us. He works with us through our worries. I love this about Jesus. He doesn't just drop this command on us, but he says, hey, I'm going to work with you through this. It's like when I was growing up and you know, my dad would say, hey, I want you to do this thing. And it's like, what? Why should I do that? Because I said so, you know, which is like, fine, you know, that's cool. But Jesus is like, hey, let me explain why I'm saying that. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't worry, but I'm going to tell you why. And we talked about this last week. All of the commands of God are for our joy. Jesus says this in John 15. These commands I give to you so that your joy may be full. So every time Jesus is telling us a command, it's always for our joy and his glory. But he walks with us through our worries. Look at what he says in verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? I love this. There's some times where I'm outside or even in a restaurant sometimes, I don't know if you've seen this, where like a bird will come in, like bold move where the bird comes in and starts eating some food, but you could tell, wow, this bird's very comfortable. But sometimes I think about this passage when I see a bird. I think, man, they're not like working really hard like we are, right? Like they're not striving. They're just going and seeing where the food's at, and God's providing for them. And Jesus says here, let the birds teach you something about my provision. If I provide for the birds, how much more will I provide for you? Allow God's creatures, allow God's creation to point you to his love for you. It's amazing. Your heavenly Father feeds them. You're way more valuable than the birds, Jesus is saying. And if he provides for them, he'll provide for you. Some of you are struggling to trust God right now. There's something you're going through that's difficult that you're saying, man, I'm extremely worried about this thing. And Jesus wants to remind you this morning, hey, I see you. I know exactly what you're going through, and I will walk with you through it. And as the church, this is one of the privileges that we have to walk with each other through the tough times of life. As we get into these seasons where we start worrying, we're to bear each other's burdens. This should be a place where we could be honest with each other and say, hey, I really need some prayer. I'm really worried about this thing. This should be a safe place. But oftentimes we can go to people first rather than go to God, right? We're like, I'll use this person as like my therapist, or I'll just pour out all my worries on them. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. I'm just saying, can we go to God first? Can we go to God and say, Lord, I'm just confessing before you, I'm worried. I'm troubled. And then we'll be able to see each other in the right light. I'm not looking for this person to fix me. I'm pouring out my heart to God. Lord, help us to walk alongside each other in this. Then he goes on to verse 27. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? You can't make yourself taller by worrying. What is he saying? Just saying, hey, there's no point to worrying. It's fruitless. It probably will actually hinder you. There's no point to worrying. In verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Why do you worry about your clothing? We're in America now, so I think some of this, we're like, man, we have food and we have clothes. This might not be a concern for some of us. We're like, we know what we're going to wear tomorrow. We have clothes at least to do it. We have food. And so for us, sometimes this is a little bit removed, right? Jesus tells us to pray, give us today our daily bread. We're like, why would I pray for something that I already have? You see, the more, it kind of goes back to what he was talking about before. The more that we have, the least we tend to not depend upon Christ as much. Because we trust in what we have rather than trusting in Christ. When you have these things removed, when you lose the job, when life doesn't work out how you want, you bomb that midterm, that's when you're crying out like, Lord, I need you. I need help. Because you see your need. When we have this surplus, when we're basking in prosperity, it's very difficult for us. But even, it's possible for us, even though we have clothes and we have food, I think it's possible for us to align our hearts with who Christ is. And to realize the clothes that I have, the food that God provides, that everything that we have comes from above. It's all a gift of God that's been granted to us. It's all by sheer grace. So that means that when God removes some of those things, those blessings, I'm not relating to God based upon my works. I'm relating to Him based upon grace. And grace tells me that I am saved apart from anything I do. It's the work of Jesus on the cross for me. But that also means that God can bring difficult things my way as well. As Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job is worshiping God, even though these blessings are being removed. And I think the Lord wants to teach us how to trust Him and how to relate to Him in this way. As He's talked about, He's our Heavenly Father. He says that twice in this passage. He is your Heavenly Father. He knows what you need. You might not always have what you want, but Jesus says, I will provide what you need. In verse 30, he says, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? If God clothes the grass like this, it says, more beautiful than Solomon, powerful, wise, rich king. Say, I'm clothing the grass better than Solomon. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to clothe you. And he says here in verse 30, it's a matter of faith, right? Worry, what is worry? It's basically saying, Lord, I don't really trust you to come through for me. I'm not able to surrender these things to you. I need to kind of plan and scheme and just like, you know, fret over my situation. And God's saying, no, our worries manifest our faith or lack thereof. And so he's saying, hey, don't keep these worries. Don't allow worry to drive you. Give that to me. Jesus is not content for us to have a little faith, right? Jesus wants to refine our faith. We see this throughout the scripture. How does Jesus do this? It's by bringing us through the fire. It's by bringing us through trials. If I were to ask you, do you want like a strong faith? Like most people would be like, yeah, I do. Do you want your faith to get stronger? Like, of course. But the process to get there is something that we're like, no, I don't want that. I just want Jesus to rain it on me. You know what I mean? But like the process that Jesus used oftentimes is trials. He strengthens our faith. He refines it. That's why Peter says, don't be surprised by the fiery trial. Because your faith, God's refining it to bring it forth like gold. Your faith is much more precious than gold that perishes. And Jesus is not content to keep us in this place. He's like, I want growth for my people. And I'm going to use your trials to bring that about. Notice verse 31. He says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? And notice in verse 32 through 34, Jesus frees us from our worries. Jesus frees us from our worries. He says, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. We talked about this a little bit in previous weeks when we talked about prayer. Jesus says, hey, don't pray like the Gentiles. Or, in other words, people who don't know God. Don't pray that way. Repeating, just thinking that you're going to be heard for your many words. Here he says, don't seek the things that the Gentiles seek. This is natural for us, right? In life, most of you want to have a good career, maybe a family. There's things that you want to see happen in this life. You want to be able to provide for yourself. But what Jesus is saying here, he's saying, yeah, that's the way of the world. People just say, hey, we're making it all about this. It's not that it's bad to think about those things. It's just, if that's all you're thinking about, it's a very small pursuit. If we as believers, those of you who have trusted Christ, are just like everyone else, are seeking the same things that everyone else is seeking, that's a problem. Because we're saying, oh, I believe in Christ. But in our activity, our actions, we're actually saying, I value the things of this world more than Christ. These things are important. Jesus knows what we need. He's not saying these things aren't important. He's saying, your Father knows that they're important, so let him provide for you. This frees us up to say, we can seek the kingdom of God wholeheartedly and say, okay, Jesus said here, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I love what Jesus does here. He says, you know the things that most people worry about? The things that keep you up at night? Jesus is like, give those things to me and seek my kingdom. Like, I will come through for you. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. We saw this about prayer. Your Father knows what you need before you ask it. You're not informing God about something that he doesn't already know in prayer, but he wants that connection. He wants to connect with us. Know this. As you stay awake at night, or as you're like, man, this is really tough. Like, I'm really worried about this thing. Just take that time to say, Lord, I want to give you my worries. I want to cast these things upon you. See that Peter tells us to do this in 1 Peter 5:7. He tells us to cast our cares upon God, for he cares for us. See, when we hold on to our worries, we're basically saying, Lord, you don't care about me, and so I need to try to work this thing out in my own way. And God's saying, no, I want all of your anxieties. I want all of your worries. And Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. Pray in everything. Give your cares, give your worries to God. Ultimately, for us, the cross of Christ is the ultimate expression of God's love for us. It's the thing that will extinguish these worries, right, that we have. If we ever doubt, does God love me? Does God have the best for me? We look to the cross. This is where God has ultimately shown, I love you. Listen to what Romans 8:32 says. Kind of the same kind of thing Jesus is doing here, building this case. He says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Using almost the same logic here as Jesus is using. If God provides for the birds, he's going to provide for you. If God clothes the grass, he's going to provide for you. If God has not spared his son, he's provided salvation for you. If God has dealt with your greatest problem, do you think that he could deal with your other problems? He did not withhold his son. And anytime we think, okay, God, what are you doing? We're tempted to doubt the heart of God for us. We need to look to the cross. We need to say, okay, one thing I do know. God did not spare his own son for me. The Father gave his son so that I might be with him forever. And because of that, we just camp there. Sometimes I have to just camp there. I'm like, man, I'm not making sense of life or certain things that are going on. And I'm just like, I need to sit here with Jesus and say, Lord, thank you that you died for me. Thank you that my greatest problem has been taken care of. Thank you that even though there's craziness happening, you're on your throne and you left your throne to die for me. And as we kind of take time and sit around the cross and say, Lord, help me to see you right now. All I see is me. All I see is what's not happening. I want to see you. As we take time to look at Jesus, we begin to be transformed. This is what Paul says. We begin to be like Jesus as we gaze upon him. And so the question I have for us is, are we taking time to gaze upon Jesus? I don't want to just tell you, hey, let's stop worrying. Are you looking at Jesus? And this week, what steps are we going to take to get alone with Jesus? To allow him to speak to us? Those of you who are in ministry, we can be very busy with ministry. And that kind of just, it can take a lot of our time. And it's hard, right? It's a battle. You might think, those of you, you're like, oh yeah, you're in ministry. You must spend a lot of time with Jesus. Like, no, it's hard, dude. It's hard because it's so easy to just do for Jesus and not really spend time with him and enjoy him. So I think for those of you in ministry, just want to encourage you with this, right? Look at Mary and Martha. Look at that story. What does Jesus tell her? Hey, you're worried and troubled about many things. Again, worry. You're just trying to do. I'm here in the room, and Mary's enjoying me, but you're just trying to work, trying to crank it out. It's not that serving God is bad. It's just priorities, right? What did Jesus say? One thing is needed. Mary's chosen that good part. It won't be taken away from her. What did Jesus say here? Seek first the kingdom of God. There's one thing. It's being with Jesus. It's seeking his kingdom. As we're spending that time with him, will be fruitful in the work. I want to close this morning. We're going to have a time of communion. And